Good morning, San Marcos, Texas. It is finally Friday, and you're listening to Bobcat Radio, where the game never stops. I'm your host, Davin Meredith, alongside my co-host, David Castaneda, Audrey Pasillas, bringing you the latest buzz in local San Marcos sports. Our engineer and producer, Justin Brown, is here to ensure we keep the energy high and stay on topic. Stay locked in for your early dose of sports talk and analysis right here on Bobcat Radio. But before we dive into it, let's get a quick word from our sponsor.
Twin Peaks Restaurant and Sports Bar is the sponsor of this broadcast of Bobcat Radio, located on the northbound frontage road of I-35 at Guadalupe Street in San Marcos. Twin Peaks has bites, wings, burgers, sandwiches, and more. Info and menu at twinpeaksrestaurant.com. Twin Peaks, eats, drinks, scenic views.
Alrighty, let's dive into it. Real quick, though, before we start, guys, this month is National Poetry Month, and in honor of that, I have a little poem for y'all. Roses are red, violets are blue. Jessica Mullins is throwing absolute heat. What is the opposing team supposed to do? Guys, Texas State softball just beat the 21st-ranked Baylor Bears Wednesday 6-1. David, you were on the call. Do you have any comments so far about this Bobcat team?
Yeah, I was on the call. Honored to be on the call with Mr. Roderick Jackson for his first broadcast, so a little bit of a shout-out to him there. Similar to your poem, Davin, Jessica Mullins absolutely tore it up on the mound. I believe it was, my internet's not working right now on my laptop, but I believe it was four innings with only one hit allowed, which is absolutely insane. I actually didn't know that during the broadcast, and afterwards when they brought the stat sheet, I saw that she started the game with bases loaded and no outs, so it did not seem like she was going to have a scoreless game. Yet she did, kept her ERA under one, and that was probably the big thing. Sierra Trahan went down with a non-contact injury, which was pretty scary. Those are always scary. You typically see them in football. But yeah, besides that, everything went well for the Bobcats. Had a little bit of a scare there in the bottom of the seventh, or excuse me, the top of the seventh. But they were able to pull off the win, and yeah, they killed it.
Speaking of, like you said, heat, Davin, we want to get into Jessica Mullins really. So Texas State softball is only halfway done with the regular season. And like you said, she is throwing straight heat. She's currently sitting at a 0.87 ERA, a whopping 138 strikeouts on just this season alone. And lastly, she's only at a 19-4 win to loss ratio. So that's, I think she has like around 29 appearances just this season alone. So that says a lot about the veteran senior here at Texas State softball. But to add even more praise on the mound queen, heading into April, Mullins was named number 4 pitcher in the nation by D1 softball. That is like nothing new. Yet again, she's being named SBC player pitcher of the week every single week this past couple of months. And it's really an honor just to be watching her progress and do what she does best in her last season here at Texas State. And finally, crown the queen. She's mother. I can't wait to see her in this weekend series versus Troy. And I just want to see her be putting up all those numbers.
And you really got to think about how they transition. You know, they come from playing number 21 Baylor. They get a big win. And then now they have to host a Sunbelt tournament. I mean, a Sunbelt, you know, conference series against the Troy Trojans. And the Troy Trojans, they're 26-13 overall, 6-3 in Sunbelt play. But, you know, really the Bobcats aren't sweating about it too much. If you look at the all-time record at home for the Bobcats against Troy, they are 11-2 overall. And the last time the Bobcats hosted them was in 2023. And they got a sweep over the entire weekend, a 5-1 win Friday, a 2-1 win Saturday, and a 5-2 win Sunday. So I don't think the Bobcats are sweating it too much, especially coming off of a big win against the Baylor Bears.
Yeah. Let's not forget that this is a team that's played Penn State, Texas A&M. Obviously, they took the win against Baylor. And another thing we got to mention, Justin, after that Troy series, they have UT in Austin. So it can't really be said enough how important that Baylor win was for them. And I really think if they come out on top against UT, that they could accredit that a lot to the Baylor win.
Yeah. I completely agree. I mean, I think I got to speak with Jessica Mullins yesterday, and I in an interview at the field, and she's really excited about that Texas game. And she says she's not treating it any differently than any other game. She knows her game. She knows how to pitch. And she was like, this is my pitching circle, and no one can take that from me, not any batter. And that's exactly what she's doing. And that's the mindset she has towards UT. I believe the Bobcats could have beat UT here at home, and they got a chance to do it away. So it's going to be exciting.
Yeah, Texas State softball is rolling, and a lot of that has to do with the pitching, especially since not just Jessica Mullins, we got Madison Azua in there and several others. In the national rankings, Texas State is ranked 5 in earned run average, and that bullpen is insane. Yeah. So that is bolstering this Bobcat team to those wins against dominant opponents like A&M, like Baylor. And earlier they did play UT already this season, and that game went, I believe the score was 1-0. So, I mean, it's just an intense Bobcat team, and they're throwing out competition, and a lot of that is due to their pitching.
Yeah, I mean, look at those numbers, a 0.89 ERA. She's pitched 145 innings of play, making her first place in the entire college circuit for softball pitchers. So no one else has pitched more than her. 138 strikeouts, as Audrey has mentioned. So she knows how to get you looking. You look at what she did in 2023. That's her Sun Belt Conference Pitcher of the Year award. She got 256 strikeouts and over some 200 innings of play. She's a great pitcher and a real good unit for this team. And then you talk about Sierra Trahan. She gets injured, yeah. Right? Contact injury, something you do not like to see. But Sydney Harvey, she's stepping into that role. Absolutely. And I believe that's a good thing. You know, in this time of the season, you need to have those bench players get some more minutes and get some more ability. And I think with Sierra Trahan on the bench right now, you have Sydney Harvey going to that role. She's going to get better, and that will help them out more in the long run. You have more of a diverse group, a group that has more skills. So I think Sydney Harvey, that's actually a great thing. So when Sierra Trahan graduates, Sydney Harvey can be able to fill that spot. Or, you know, say down the road, there's another injury. Harvey has skills now at the plate, and she could come in for them. So I'm really excited to see what happens.
Yeah, I don't want to continue. You know, I don't want to talk about softball too much. But since you mentioned it, the Sierra Trahan injury was pretty huge. She's hitting in the two hole for Texas State, and that's notoriously a position, you know, where you kind of want to get on base. Sarah Vanderford, one of the best to do it in college softball right now. So, you know, she needs to be able to drive somebody in if she's gonna get her hits and RBI. She does lead the team in RBI, so see who's able to fill in that hole. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see if they maybe move Vanderford up, or, you know, maybe move Jones from the bottom of the lineup up, but somebody's going to have to fill that hole. And I think that that's going to be huge for Texas State's success on offense. You know, we could talk about the pitching all we want, but at the end of the day, pitching doesn't matter if your offense doesn't put up runs.
Like Justin mentioned, he said that, you know, Sierra Trahan is graduating soon. She's going to have someone fill in her shoes and everything. But to fill in Jessica Mullen's shoes, I feel like you have to look at Madison Azua. She's a freshman this year, and she's been doing such a phenomenal job. She's at a 213 ERA, along with only 9 walks and about, where are the shutouts? She's doing a phenomenal job. She opened the season opener for Texas State against UTSA, and she won that. And she just recently pitched against Baylor as well, which is phenomenal on her part. And only a freshman, you only have really up from there. So it's just really exciting to see her journey and to see where she goes after Jessica Mullen leaves this season.
And one thing I learned about Jessica Mullins recently from practice, and I think this is just kind of funny to point out, is she was telling me, she was saying, you know, I get all these athletic awards. I don't freak out about those. But recently I'm in the runnings for an academic award here at Texas State. And she's like, I love it. She's like, I love it. You know, I haven't got a chance to be competing against other students, and now I feel like I can compete in the student realm. So she's in the running, I think, for the LBJ, I think Academic Success Award or something like that. But wow, just what a really, really all around athlete. She does the student part amazing and the athlete part amazing as well. So just a real smart person. She's majoring in health science. So yeah, I could never do that. I don't know any anatomy or any science. I took like a bio class freshman year. Never again. I'm an electronic media major.
Well, while we're giving her the praise, she really, what I like about Jessica Mullen, she puts herself in the toughest of situations that I've seen. Audrey, remember the game we were calling against A&M? Like, she constantly had bases loaded with no outs, one out, and it's scary. It's like watching somebody defuse a bomb watching her pitch, but she always manages to get out of it, and her offense always backs her up. So all praise goes to Jessica Mullen. She's a huge part of the team's success.
Yeah, I mean, fifth, like, she's leading. I think she's fifth in all-time history for the Texas State Bobcats and, like, shutouts, strikeouts, everything like that. So, and she's first in Sun Belt Conference in 5 of the 6 pitching statistics that they currently have.
Rightfully so.
So, wow.
It's insane. Jessica Mullins and the Bobcats look to continue their momentum in their Sun Belt Conference matchup at Bobcat Softball Stadium against Troy tonight at 6 p.m. Real quick, we are going to take a quick break, but when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit of Texas State baseball and get into some of those Final Four matchups that we got going on. You're listening to KTSW 89.9 San Marcos. Welcome back to Bobcat Radio. We're going to talk a little bit of Texas State baseball, who are currently 15-14 after losing to number 3-ranked Texas A&M Aggies 12-2. That game was over after the seventh inning due to a run rule being in effect. Their next matchup is against the struggling Marshall Thundering Herd. Justin, what is holding this Bobcat baseball team back?
I really feel you look at the Bobcat baseball team compared to the softball team. And there's one big difference. We talk about Jessica Mullins all the time in softball because that's their ace. Look at baseball. They're aceless. They don't got an ace in their deck of cards. And if you look at the stats here, I mean, the best pitcher you could say is like Jonathan Martinez. 15 appearances, still has a 1.96 ERA. And you have to give a shout out to Matthew Tippy as well. I mean, he's a great pitcher. We saw him close out in the Astros Foundational College Classic. He did great things, beating UT as well. So, you know, I just think this pitching rotation needs a lot more work. We've seen them in games, like especially against Louisiana, that entire series, they were really struggling to get that, you know, get that pitching going. And it just depends on how they start off. We look at how they faced off against Texas A&M. They take that loss, right? Big blowout loss. And you look at how they start the game off. They're already allowing runs. We saw, I think, Tony Robey start the game, and he gave 5 strikeouts but 4 earned runs, and that was in like 1 inning of play. You really have to maintain that composure at the beginning of the game if you really want to keep batters looking. So I really am interested to see what the Bobcat team can do with, you know, coach the pitching coach as well, just making sure that these players can really get their, you know, their balls in the strike zone. So, and we'll see what happens.
Indeed. And Audrey, we've had one of the studs for the Bobcat baseball team out recently. Ryan Farber came in, and he's currently still leading the Bobcats in the batting average, batting .359. What does his absence mean for this Bobcat team as a leadoff hitter?
Well, before we get into like his, I guess, the negative of Ryan Farber, you know, not being here in the season midway and everything, I do want to praise him and say that he is the midseason freshman All-American, and he was selected for the second team. He is the team's best hitter. Like you said, he is at a .359 batting average with 22 runs, 18 RBIs, and 2 home runs on the season alone. He's a freshman. He's putting up numbers like that. And then you started off in the beginning of the season at the top of the lineup, starting off at center field over Ben McLean last year, to just fill in those shoes and being able to make up your own name is pretty good. I'm really proud of that kid. I enjoy going to the baseball games and just seeing, like, you know, him showing out and everything. But like you said, Davin, he hasn't been here lately. So Cameron Weil has been in his place, and Cameron Weil has been putting up numbers as well. But it's really sad because, you know, Farber he needs to get his stuff in, you know, and everything. It's just really exciting to see Weil there as well. But I mean, hey, Farber's coming back soon. He did quote his tweet that I just brought up, and he said, "I will be back," and he will definitely be back. He'll be putting up numbers and everything and just really clean up things in the outfield.
And using Audrey's tiny computer because my still doesn't have internet, but looking at the game against A&M, 8 pitchers in 7 innings, that's absolutely insane. I mean, Texas, comparison, Texas A&M used 3 pitchers in 7 innings. Obviously, that's as hard as it's going to get. That's the silver lining for Texas State, is it's not going to get any harder than Texas A&M. But I believe it was a sweep at home against Louisiana, right, Justin?
Yep.
Yeah, so, I mean, that cannot happen. And you look at Texas State, notoriously, Texas State baseball has been a streaky team. It's all about one side of the ball giving momentum to the other side, you know, similar to basketball, similar to football. But that hasn't really happened. You know, when the offense explodes, the pitching doesn't necessarily follow. We see all these like barn burner games, and it's cool as a fan to watch that. Lots of run, lots of excitement. But at the end of the day, you need your bullpen to step up and, you know, provide some support for your offense. Otherwise, like I said about softball, it's not going to matter.
You know, one thing I'd like to say about that is, I think the Bobcats, yeah, you look at the skid they've been on. You got a 3, you lose at home against Louisiana. That's the first time Louisiana's ever swept Bobcats at home. So that's already a sign that things are going a little astray. And then you lose to A&M, which is a nationally ranked team. I mean, you tried your best, but you could have put some more runs on the board. And now you're playing Marshall. Now, this is a must-win series, and I'm going to tell you why. Marshall is last place in batting average, last place in their highest ERA in the Sun Belt Conference. They have the lowest amount of RBIs in the Sun Belt Conference. This is the team that you have to beat. They're second to last in Sun Belt play. If the Bobcats Bobcats can't beat Marshall, something is going wrong. So I think really this is going to have to be a sweep for the Bobcats if they want to get some momentum going into next week. And, you know, Audrey, I don't know how much of the schedule they have left and what they're going to be doing, but, you know, really they have to prepare themselves for next week.
That's right. That's right, Justin. Like you mentioned, Marshall is definitely this weekend, and it's really going to put the Bobcats to the test to really see if, you know, they can find their, maybe find their ace, get their pitching game up, get their defense up, and, you know, get their at-bats there as well. But for the rest of the season, they got, like we said, Marshall. We got Texas next week, which is home and away, which is that game that you really want to go out and, you know, be there for, because like we said, that's going to be another test for the Bobcats. And then they got the ULM, and we have Incarnate World, South Alabama, Incarnate World yet again, Arkansas State, UTSA, Old Dominion, Troy. You just got all these teams that you're going to be going up against, and you really got to show out and be like, hey, you know, we're still Slam Marcos. Like, we still got this momentum inside of us, and it's not the end yet. And you got Southern Miss as well, McNeese, and then you got the SBC tournament.
Yeah, I mean, a game that I always like to point out that I just feel like describes the Bobcats' identity for this season is this game against UTSA. The final score was Bobcats 14, UTSA 13. Dalen Pena had to hit two grand slams for that to even be a game. And just to think about that, that's a high-scoring game. And talking about the pitching, I mean, yeah, the pitching needs to show up. They need to come through. Starters need to go more than just two innings. They can't go into that bullpen too quickly. And it's just been a struggle for this year. But Trout was quoted saying after the A&M game, obviously disappointed, but they play better on the road for some reason. He wants to get those guys bonded together. They apparently just do better on the road. They pitch better on the road. They hit better on the road. So Texas State baseball looks to figure things out on the road against the Marshall Thundering Herd at Jack Cook Field tonight, actually, at 5 p.m. But moving on, guys, we got some basketball going on. It's March Madness. Real quick, for these last several 15 or so minutes that we have here, I just want to talk basketball with y'all. So we're going to start with the women's basketball tournament. So the matchups we have are NC State against South Carolina and then UConn against Iowa. So I will just let the debate begin.
Okay, so NC State versus South Carolina. I think everyone knows this is, we're talking women's basketball, by the way, right now. And yeah, NC State, they're losing. They're going to lose to South Carolina. That's my prediction. South Carolina, an undefeated team. They've done it multiple seasons. Would not be surprised there. NC State on the women's side, not as good as the men's right now. We'll talk about that later. And then are we talking about the next series as well? Iowa and UConn as well? Can I give my pick for that?
Go for it, Justin. Go crazy.
All right, my pick. Yeah, I'm going to go crazy. Iowa versus UConn. I mean, look at that. Paige Buckers, she's over there for UConn. She's averaging 22.7 points per game. But what do UConn, what does UConn not have that Iowa does? Oh, Caitlin Clark. Let me tell you about her leading statistics. Look at this team. Look at the Iowa Hawkeyes stats. Caitlin Clark leads in points, 32 points a game. She leads in rebounds, 7.3 a game. She leads the team in assists, 9 assists a game. She leads it in steals, 1.8 per game. Is there a category this girl cannot lead in? I don't know. I think Iowa versus UConn, that's going to be a matchup. This UConn team apparently really good. I don't know if they're as good as the men's side right now. We'll talk about that in a sec, obviously. But Iowa, wow. Iowa's going to win it all. I think the championship game is going to be Iowa versus South Carolina. Tell me what you think.
Yeah, I mean, I think South Carolina, they're undefeated, right? 38-0 or something like that. Yeah, that's pretty crazy. And real quick, before we get into all that, shout out both to NC State and UConn, both in women's and men's, they're in the Final Four. That's pretty cool. You know, good to see those schools. Obviously, UConn has notoriously been successful for women's basketball. Now they're doing it on the men's side. NC State really came out of nowhere. But I agree with you. South Carolina and Iowa looks like what it's going to be. Caitlin Clark doing her thing, and I think it's just a perfect storybook ending. The only part I disagree with you on is her coming out on top against South Carolina. Look back at the LSU game last year, you know, that was a little bit of a telltale sign. But this South Carolina team is 10 times stronger than that LSU team she fell short on last year. So we're going to have to see. Just South Carolina, they look like a team that's rolling, and nothing is going to stop them. Yeah.
A game that I'm really excited to watch is definitely Iowa and UConn. Like Justin said, Iowa's at number one, UConn is at number three. And then on Iowa's side of things, you got Caitlin Clark, obviously. And then UConn, you got Paige Buckers. Is that how you say her name?
Yeah.
Buckers?
Yeah?
Yeah. Okay. So it's going to be a really good matchup. I'm barely getting into college basketball, so I'm really fresh about this. But I'm so excited to just see this game play out and everything and see, you know, Iowa
I really do think they're going to take the win, you know. And then against South Carolina, it's going to be really interesting to see just these two teams going head to head and everything.
You know what's wild to me? This is something I didn't know till just about 3 days ago. And I think it needs to be mentioned that the UConn women's basketball team from the year 2014 to 2017 never lost a game. Yeah. They were on a win streak for 3 years.
They had that one coach. I don't know if he's still the coach.
Yeah. Yeah. 18 national championship appearances or something like that. It's insane. This UConn women's basketball team, they are literally women's basketball. But I'd love to see Iowa show up. And one fun fact about Iowa, against LSU, when Angel Reese was taking L's left and right, you know, that was the most watched game in ESPN collegiate basketball history. That is amazing. That is such a powerful statement. That was the most viewership ever an ESPN broadcast has ever gotten for college basketball. So women's basketball, I mean, it is on the up and up. Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese, the next, you know, Larry Bird. And I don't know if you call it Magic Johnson or Shaquille O'Neal. She's kind of a big, but she can't dunk it yet. I want to see her dunk. But yeah, wasn't it awesome watching Angel Reese and LSU lose? I don't know. I got to get y'all's thoughts on that. Really, it was the most viewed game, and Angel Reese was still pretending like she was, I don't know, she in that post-game interview, she was like, oh, well, there's all these things in the season, all this stuff. No, you just lost. You just lost. You scored 9 points.
Just take the L and
just
go.
Just take the L and leave. Oh, and good, your eyelashes didn't fall off in the game. That's so great. That's
she
crazy.
Definitely wasn't as sympathetic when Iowa lost last year.
Oh, no, that. Yeah. She was talking mess the entire time. So I'm glad Iowa got the revenge. Caitlin Clark, and an amazing assist leader, point leader, everything. They're winning the
championship. Travis Scott was there.
He was there. I did see that.
Jason Sudeikis, wasn't he there? Yeah, I think so.
He was. Yeah, he was there.
You know Ted Lasso? You don't know Ted Lasso or what's that? The Millers? No?
He's a guy. If I showed you a picture of, you would know who he is.
Yeah, you know.
Right. Yeah. But real quick, before we move on to men's basketball, I do want to just talk about how Caitlin Clark's impacted the game. I mean, my favorite thing of watching LSU and Iowa was definitely every single LSU player's reaction after Caitlin Clark made a three. They just threw up their hands and were like, well, there's nothing I can do about that. She's insane. She's super talented. She's going to propel women's basketball for the next several years and decades to come. It's going to be really awesome to watch.
I want to ask y'all something. I was going to bring it up in Close to the Wall later, but I'm going to bring it up right now. Did you guys see that LSU player HVL?
Haley Van Lith?
Yeah, so she's leaving LSU. Oh, yeah,
good for her.
Why is that good, Justin? She put up numbers for here at LSU. She was really good. Her and Angel Reese were really good together. That's dynamic duo, dangerous duo.
I think Haley Van Lith needs to go to a team where she can stand out as a star player. When you're in behind Angel Reese's shadow, I don't know why Angel Reese has such a media prowess. I don't know why she's considered such a great. Look at Haley Van Lith, never gave up. She was there every single minute looking like a track race the entire time. Did she get any recognition? Nah, it was just Angel Reese in the postgame. Yeah, go somewhere else. I would do the same thing. LSU, I don't know. I'm not trying to take a stance here anyway, but I do believe that that team has some toxic culture at the moment. They love to talk mess, and when it comes time to play the game, they lose by about 12. And it was funny, you know, at the end of the game, it's final seconds, and Angel Reese fouls out because that's all she could do. And you know, she had 3 more points than she had fouls the entire game. Wasn't that crazy? So she's fouled out, and everyone's standing. It's not a standing ovation, it's a standing wave goodbye. And everyone waves her goodbye, and LSU, they go away. You know, they didn't even stand out there for the anthem, and I'm not taking a political stance on that, just saying that's something I just noticed. So yeah, I think it was karma. I think Haley Van Lith, she can go play for any team. Take her to the Sun Belt. Why don't you come to Texas State? How about that?
You beat me to it, Justin.
I'm not going to say anything about that, though. I can't, you know, advocate for players to come any place, anywhere. But I think it would be really fun to see her perform somewhere else. You know, I think she'll do great. She's a great basketball player. She deserves a recognition, just not behind Angel Reese's 6'2" shadow.
Well, luckily Angel Reese is declaring the WNBA, so she will not be at LSU anymore, and she definitely can't hide HVL, but I mean, she wants to go somewhere else.
Do you think she was just jealous of her coach's style?
You saw that green suit that she was wearing?
Yeah.
Girl looked like...
She looked like the Riddler. Like, what was that? Yeah. What's the coach's name again? Does anybody know?
You know who else is declaring for the draft?
There you go, dude.
Bronny James.
No,
he's not.
What if he goes to Ohio?
He transferred to Ohio. He just posted on his Instagram.
Oh, did he?
No.
What? You could answer.
LeBron said that he cannot speak against
on his son. You could. So
why would he go to the draft? He's been averaging 9 points a game. He's going to go get drafted by like what?
He entered the transfer portal and the NBA draft. You could do that at the same time.
And he still has his eligibility. Yeah.
Man, imagine having a career just because your last name is the same as someone that played great. I feel so bad for Bronny James. I've said this every time he's ever been mentioned on air or close to the wall, doesn't matter. He has to live in his dad's shadow, and he has to live up to his expectations, and every coach is looking at him like scratching the head. They're like, I don't think it's not genetic.
Isn't the middle like son even like a little bit better than
Bronny? Bryce.
Bryce, yeah.
He's growing like way faster than Bronny James was too. The thing I feel bad for, you know, obviously being in his dad's shadow and everything, but getting on that USC team, it does not seem like that was his fit. I'm not saying that he's, you know, the best player in college basketball and he would have done better on another team, but just looking at how that team plays, I believe they finished under 500 in the win category, so I don't know. If he does transfer, I'd like to see him go somewhere where he could shine a little more.
Everyone needs to take their talents to the Sun Belt. I'm not saying which team, but, you know, Bronny, Haley. Sun Belt. Who knows? Audrey?
Well, Justin, to answer your question, the LSU head coach is Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey?
Is that the first and the last name, or is that the last name?
That is the first and the last name. Kim space Mulkey.
Oh, Kim Mulkey.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know her.
Yeah. You asked earlier who was the LSU head coach. I had to tell you.
Her nickname's the Riddler. Yeah. But no, she's known, if you don't know who Kim Mulkey is, or was that the pronunciation right? Yeah, she dresses up in a variety of colors every game. But I guess she should have just worn, I don't know what she should have worn. Green was not the color for that game. I think it should have been red.
She probably wanted to get like a little luck in there, you know, still, you know.
Lucky Charms. Yes.
Duh. She was just looking for that gold, and she unfortunately didn't get that ring. So
yeah, you know, she didn't get that ring, but, you know, I think one team might be getting the ring, and I want NC State in the men's tournament to get the ring. But I think we should talk about that men's tournament. How about you, Dev?
Smooth transition there, Justin. You beat me to it. Just to go to it goes to show how much women's basketball is in the talk, social media, entertainment, everything. Let's talk men's Final Four real quick. Predictions, Justin, NC State versus Purdue, and then also Alabama versus UConn. Go ahead and take it.
All right. UConn's beating Alabama. There's no doubt in my mind UConn's been beating every round by 20 points at least. They have their players are absolute beasts. They're animals. Coach said last year when they got beat in the tournament, or no, it was, I think it was the year prior, he was like, just watch out for us. You know, you guys don't realize what you're going up against. Our practices are harder than our games. These guys are beasts and animals. So I think they're beating Alabama. And NC State versus Purdue, got to go for DJ Burns, man. Zach Edey, he's great. He's that big 7'6" center for the Purdue Boilermakers. And I think Purdue, not going to lie, I think Zach Edey for Purdue, he doesn't look like he has much of a game at all. He looks like a tall player that just was handed a basketball at age 17 and said, you know, the coach, you know, in high school when coaches walk down the hallway and see a tall guy and they go,
play basketball?
You play basketball? Yeah, that's exactly what happened to Zach Edey his junior year of high school. He was a pitcher in baseball, by the way. That was funny. If you ever look at that when he was in high school, 7 foot guy on the mound, I just run away into my dugout. But yeah, no, Zach Edey looks like Joel Embiid, but yeah. Oh, I got to be quick here. We don't got a lot of time. Yeah. NC State beats Purdue. UConn beats Alabama. Go.
Yeah, UConn 100% beats Alabama. You took the words right out of my mouth. They've been absolutely stomping every team. Guys, this goes back all the way to the Big East tournament against Marquette. They beat him 73-57, and since then, they've won every game by at least a 20-point margin. UConn is going to win the entire thing, regardless of who wins on the other side. I agree with you. I do think it's going to be Purdue that comes out on top, but look at Zach Edey. He's not a complete player yet. A lot of, like, mock drafts have him going like pretty high, so I don't agree with that. But UConn looks like this unstoppable force, and I really do think they're going to go back to back and break that curse.
I think I'm going to side with David here. I'm going to go with UConn and Purdue. I don't know if you said Purdue.
I did.
You did. Okay. I'm going to go with UConn
and
Purdue.
Listening.
Definitely UConn. I'm trying to get my stats for UConn. Definitely UConn, just because, like you said, they're dominating right now. The whole basketball thing, but also they got a player, Tristan Newton, who is, shout out to El Paso, he's from El Paso and he's putting up numbers too, which I really like, so I'm just gonna side with him just because of that.
All righty, real quick, I'm taking NC State and UConn. And with that being said, we are about to wrap up the show. Justin, do we have a weather report?
Yes, we do. Today, high of 86, and you're probably experiencing it pretty soon. It's going to get hot in the afternoon, and a low of 59 tonight. Expect some winds in the 10 to 20 mile per hour range. And then looking at tomorrow, cloudy skies, 21% chance of rain, high of 80, low of 62. Sunday, high of 84, low of 62 as well. Am I repeating myself? 14% chance of rain. Monday, 73% of thunderstorms and showers. That's day and night. So say goodbye to that solar eclipse and throw away those glasses. You won't be able to see it. The clouds will be in the sky. I'd say bring an umbrella if you're going to be on a parking garage trying to see it. I'm just going to watch it go from day to night back to day, and I'm going to save my coronas of my eyes. I'm not going to look at it. But yeah, that's the weather forecast for
awesome.
The weekend.
Thank all right. Well,
so negative.
I know, right? Well, that concludes today's episode of Bobcat Radio. If you enjoyed this broadcast and never want to skip a beat, make sure to keep up with us following us on KTS. SW Sports on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. From Justin Brown, Audrey Pasillas, David Castaneda, I'm Davin Meredith, wishing you a safe and happy Friday. Now let's get you back to the other side of radio.